This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
Hey, it's so good to be back with you this morning. You know, it's probably the most well-known Bible verse in the world and been preached on by Billy Graham more than any other single verse. Of course, I'm referring to John 3:16. And there may be some of you who don't know it, so here's what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I want you to pay particular attention to three key words in this verse, because these three words actually form the basis of everything we're going to be talking about today. The first is the word God. The second is the word loved. And the third is the word world. If you want to know why God is a mission-minded God, and if you want to know why we are a mission-minded church, and if you want to know why every Christian should be a mission-minded Christian, it's summed up in these three words. If we love God, then we will love what God loves. And God loves the world. Truth is, God loves everyone in this world, whether they love him back or not. The reason why we put such a strong emphasis on the word mission is really quite simple. If God loved this world enough to give his Son, we ought to love this world enough to give ourselves. And therefore, we need to do three things. First of all, we need to make worldwide missions a priority. We need to support the worldwide effort to share the gospel with those who've never heard about Jesus Christ. It's important for us to develop a heart for the world. We need to ask God to give us his heart for the world. And make no mistake about it, God does love the whole world. He didn't send Jesus so that just a few people in a certain corner of the globe would be saved. No, he sent Jesus because the scope of God's love covers the whole world. Therefore, like him, we too must love the whole world. And how do we do this? Well, by supporting missions with our finances, with our prayers, and with our personal involvement whenever we have the opportunity. We must make it a priority. And secondly, we must exalt Christ. See, there would be no salvation for anybody apart from Jesus. God showed the depth of his love by sending his only Son. So we should lift up the name of Jesus every chance we get. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the deepest expression of God's love for us. And so, let's exalt Christ with our lips and with our lives. And thirdly, we need to share the gospel. Yes, we need to support worldwide missions, but we must not forget that our friends and neighbors, they're also lost without Jesus. And therefore, we need to share the gospel locally too. See, without Christ in their lives, these people that are around us, they'll perish in their sins as surely as the tribal person on the other side of the globe who's never heard the gospel. See, your friends or neighbors, they're part of this world that God loves. So we need to share the gospel with those around us. And what is the gospel? Remember John 3:16 is actually the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You probably already have it memorized. So now you just need to share it with the people God places in your life. Now, to be clear, God does want each of us to have a ministry in the church, but he also wants us to have a mission in the world. And I think the difference is obvious. Ministry is serving Christ primarily for believers, while mission is sharing Christ with unbelievers. In fact, the ultimate goal of the church is to make disciples, and the ultimate result of a disciple is a follower of Christ who agrees to be a missionary. Now, I can imagine that some of you are sitting there right now thinking, me? A missionary? But as Christians, it is imperative that we keep missions and evangelism in our hearts because they were in the heart of Jesus. In fact, the last words that Jesus ever said before ascending back to heaven were, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." So, Jesus made it clear that when he left this earth, he had missions on his mind. Think about it this way. Jesus came as a missionary from heaven so that he might make us missionaries for heaven. And hey, don't let the word missionary scare you. It doesn't mean you have to give up your job or be seminary trained or even have missions experience. You don't have to be a perfect Christian, great at public speaking, or even extremely knowledgeable of the Bible in order to fulfill your role as a missionary. Quite frankly, if those were the requirements, very few people could ever do any mission work. But there is something we do need. You see, the first requirement for being a missionary is the power to carry out the mission. And this is exactly why Jesus begins with the tremendous promise of Acts 1:8, where he said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, whether you believe this or not, whether you appropriate it on a daily basis or not, you, as a child of God, have at your disposal the greatest power on planet Earth. You have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And God's Holy Spirit is His missionary power. You see, the problem with the average follower of Christ is not that they don't have this power. The problem is they don't use this power. And I submit that the greatest unused power in the world is the power of the Holy Spirit. For you see, church, missions requires a team effort. You need to write that down and get it into your heart. Missions takes a team effort. And we have a teammate in this work called missions. And that teammate is the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 5:32 says, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey Him." Do you see? God Himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit, will be present with us and give His power through us so that we can carry out His mission work. God can use you with your unique personality, your unique giftedness, to carry out His mission work and to move people to faith in Jesus Christ. This is great news. We can use God's power for missions. And Jesus goes on to say that with this power and because of this power, you shall be my witnesses. And before you again say, "Me, a missionary?" No, remember who Jesus made this statement to. He was talking to tax collectors and fishermen. He was talking to farmers and shepherds and businessmen and homemakers. He was talking to men and women and young people. In other words, he was talking to people just like you and me. For you see, people are necessary for God's plan to reach the world. If we don't agree to be His witnesses, there will be no witness. And let me add here that the word witness should be a word that encourages rather than discourages us. I don't know if you've ever been a witness in a courtroom or not, but if you have, you were asked to take an oath and to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you are ever called on to be a witness, you shouldn't be one bit nervous, not a little bit anxious, not a little bit fearful. Why? Because all you have to do is tell the truth. All you have to do is tell what you've seen, tell what you've heard, tell what happened to you. See, when some people think about the word witness, they think about being some type of a salesperson. But that's wrong. Being a witness is not about using high-pressure tactics to get people to buy into anything. In fact, the wonderful thing about being a witness for God is that you're not trying to sell anything. You're trying to give it away. God's not called us to be His lawyers or His prosecuting attorneys or His defense counsel or His judge. No, God has called us to be His witnesses. A witness is very simply a person with a testimony. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a testimony. 1 John 5:10 says, those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony of God in them. So everybody who has received Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior has a personal testimony. See, all missions is getting those testimonies out of the church and into the world. Think again about the courtroom. When you're up on the stand, you don't argue the case. You don't try to prove the truth. You don't try to press for a verdict. No, no. All you do is simply testify to what you know, what you've seen, what you've heard. That's all. That's what being a missionary is. Simply bearing witness in your own way, with your own personality, in your own giftedness, as to what Christ has done for you. And let me tell you something. People are open to hear. Did you know that a recent Gallup poll discovered that 89% of Americans are intensely interested in spiritual matters? 89%. Therefore, I submit that the problem is not that there aren't people out there who are open to our mission effort. No, the problem is we don't have enough of our people who are willing to make the effort to do missions. And Jesus tells us where we're to do it. He says we're to start out locally. He said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Now, where was Jesus standing when he spoke those words? He was standing in Jerusalem. In other words, the first place to begin being a missionary is where you are, right where you live, right in your own neighborhood, right in your own community. This will always be the primary responsibility of this church and the primary responsibility of your life and my life. Now, it's not where we stop, but it is where we start. Jesus said we're also to go beyond our community to our country. In other words, we're not only to experience missions locally, we're also to experience missions nationally. Jesus said after Jerusalem, we are to go to Judea and Samaria. And finally, we're to go beyond the community and beyond the country and experience missions internationally. Jesus ended by saying, we are to go to the ends of the earth. Now, I know I'm probably being idealistic, but it would be my hope and my prayer that every person who is a member of our church, every person who's physically able, at least once, would go on a true missions trip outside the borders of the United States. And not just to preach the gospel. There are so many opportunities today that we didn't have 30 or 40 years ago. For instance, there's a great need in foreign missions for business people to go and share how to grow a business and how to be successful using biblical principles with business people overseas. And we also need doctors and nurses and dentists who will provide medical care. We need teachers who'd be willing to go and spend a week educating children and teaching teachers how to teach. You may say, I don't have any area of expertise like that. Well, I can assure you, if you're healthy and you have a willingness to go, there's a way for you to be involved in God's missions work. I just received an email from missionaries Mike and Diane Medley, who are asking right now for volunteers who will go on a short-term missions trip to Guatemala to help with eye exams and to build a home for a needy family. Listen, there's something you can do. But quite frankly, none of this will happen unless one other thing happens. We must discover God's passion for missions. And you can believe me when I tell you that this last point is by far the most important. You see, it's important because my priorities determine my passion. Will you say that with me? My priorities determine my passion. It's true. Priorities always determine passion. If a person's priority is making money, money will be his passion. If a person's priority is playing golf, guess what? Golf will be his passion. And when you make people who do not know Christ, people who do not go to church, when you make them a priority, guess what? Those people will become your passion. And this is the kind of passion I want for my life. It's the kind of passion I pray you'll get for your life. It's the passion that the Apostle Paul talked about when he said, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." But we don't just need a passion for people without Christ. We need the compassion of Christ for people. Read this verse with me. When Jesus saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were hurting and helpless. He said, "There are many people to harvest, but only a few workers to help harvest them." Now, there are two words there that perfectly describe the vast majority of this world. The vast majority of the people you go to work with every day. The vast majority of the people that live in your neighborhood, that go to your school. They are hurting. And they are helpless. But I'm here this morning to tell you that Jesus Christ is the one who can heal the hurt and help the helpless. Listen, there's only one thing that's going to last for all eternity, and that is the souls of people. And to be blunt, what the church or the Christian that does not want to take missions seriously, what that church or that Christian is actually saying to the world is, as far as I'm concerned, you can go to hell. Because if we don't take missions seriously, they will. I've said it before, and I'll continue to say it. The single most important achievement you will ever have in this life is allowing God to use you as a missionary to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. You know, someone else allowed God to use them to bring you to Christ. And there are hundreds of millions of people who are just like you were, who are waiting for someone like you or me to answer God's call to missions with, me, a missionary? Yes. If you're a believer, the question is not, will I get involved in missions? The question is, how will I get involved in missions? Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, forgive my self-centeredness. I now say yes to being a missionary. I pray you will help me change my priorities so I can have your passion for missions and your compassion for the hurting and the helpless. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.